We begin the current daven sukkah. This kisuv is daf hey. We begin on the bottom of the dalar mebeis, two lines up from the bottom of the yamid, where the gemara continues elaborating and elucidating the brisa from the previous daf. That is, we introduced this brisa which relates to the topic of our mishnah that besula nisus limrevi, that a besula gets married on the Wednesday. However, we introduced the brisa that said that although for the reason given in our mishnah, technically the woman could have gotten married on a Sunday too, because the reason the mishnah says that you get married on the Wednesday is that if, let's say, the husband claims there was no Besulim, there was no Hymen, which was the assumption he had when he married her, so the next morning when he gets all upset, he comes to Bezdin and he says he didn't find it, that's only on a Wednesday or on a Sunday, where the next morning is a Monday or a Thursday when courts are open. So why does it say just on a Wednesday, not on a Sunday? That's for the reason of Shaktu, where the Rabbanu were diligent, they wanted that the wedding should be perfect like the bride would want it, which requires a preparation of the meal for 3 days, which is Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and then getting married on Wednesday. Now, on that, the Gemara quotes from the Braisa, Amamara, the Braisa said, however, benkach u benkach, whether it was beyond the person's control or not, meaning, in other words, if it's oinus or not, doesn't make a difference what the circumstances were, but lo yival, the chasen cannot go ahead and do his first bia with his bride, the besula, lo be erev Shabbos, v'lo be matzah Shabbos. So although it's supposed to be on Wednesday, and let's say there was unforeseen circumstances that he wasn't able to go ahead and consummate the relationship, till Friday night or Matzah Shabbos. However, he cannot go ahead and do that for his bia on a Friday night or right after Shabbos on Matzah Shabbos. Now, that the Gemara wonders, Bishleim Be'er Shabbos, we understand why you cannot have the first act of bia on a Friday night, Mishum Chabur, as we explained in the previous daf. What happens is that the hymen is a membrane that gets ruptured by the first bia, and that is essentially the isra of making chabur, a wound, inflicting wound on Shabbos, which that's actually a derivative of the malach of shechita, which what happens is when you slaughter an animal, is that the blood gets released from the body, and that's the same thing that happens when one makes a chabur, which happens here by the rupturing of the membrane, which is ba'isei makom. So you can't do that on Shabbos. The matzah Shabbos of my law, but why can you not have a birishayna on the matzah Shabbos? So Amr Zera says, we can see on top of Hayim and Alf, Mishum Cheshbainis, the reason is because if you're going to consummate the relationship on Matzah Shabbos, so you're going to make a Suda then. It's going to be time of a celebration. Now, so on Shabbos, you're going to be thinking and calculating the whole Shabbos, what do you have to do, who's coming, and you make all these calculations. Now the Pasuk says, Nir Shai, in Perek Nunches, V'dabri Dover, that the speech you make on Shabbos should be different than the speech you have during the weekday. Which means to say that a person should not be making calculations regarding non-Shabbos purposes on Shabbos, and that's what you're going to be doing on Shabbos. The whole Shabbos, you're busy. What's going to be on Matzah Shabbos? So therefore, you don't go ahead and consummate the relation Matzah Shabbos, because or else you might come to violate the Dabba. Now, this Peshat of Rebzera, Amalei Abai said to him, Cheshbonis shel mitzvah mi'asiri? Yes, they're non-Shabbos calculations, but if they're for a mitzvah purpose, which is what this mitzvah of getting married is a mitzvah, is that forbidden to make the calculations of that party for Matzah Shabbos? But Vaha and the Abaye brings many different proofs that illustrate that Cheshvayna is making calculations, even verbalizing them, on Shabbos are permitted. Because we find Rav Chisda and Rav Amnuna, Damar Tavai, they both said, Cheshvayna shal mitzvah mut l'chash b'Shabbos. You could calculate, you could be speaking about calculations for a mitzvah purpose on Shabbos. Similarly, V'amr B'lazar, B'lazar says, Paiskin tzedakah l'anim b'Shabbos. You could go ahead and talk about and stipulate and decide and where you're putting funds for the poor people on Shabbos. So although it's monetary things, it's non-Shabbos, but it's for poor people, it's charity. So to Amar B'Yakov, Amar B'Yechanan, he says, Holchin lebatik nesiyas lebatik medrashas, you can go from shul to every study hall, lefakech aliskirab b'Shabbos, to take care of public needs on Shabbos. So though you're talking about things that are weekday, mundane things, but since it's necessary for the public, which is a mitzvah, you could do that on Shabbos. So to Amar B'Yakov, Amar B'Yechanan, he says, mefakhen, which again that term is like from the word of pikuach, of making awareness, creating a publicity, of pikuach nef b'Shabbos. If there's something danger to people's lives, you can go ahead and be speaking about these things, again, non-Shabbos elements, but since they're cheshven shel mitzvah, they're permitted. So to Amar B'Shmuel Bar Nachmen, Amar B'Yenison, he says, holchon tartiyois, ulkarkiyois, and these are different types of palaces and coliseums that they were for the royalty, for the nobility, you can go and visit these places lefakeach aliskirab meshabbos, to go ahead and create an awareness regarding the needs for the public on Shabbos. So though you're going to the government buildings, and which definitely seems very mundane, non-Shabbistic, but again, since it's for a mitzvah purpose, you're allowed to do that. Moreover, v'tana b'dei menashe, we learned in the braisa of the yeshiva menashe that mishadchen, one can set up a match, ala tinoikis leras b'shabbos, regarding a girl for her to get her engaged. You could talk about that on Shabbos. Valentinic alumni safer to set up a child to go ahead and teach him a certain subject. You can get him a study partner. You can talk about that. Ulamdi umnis, or to go ahead and teach him a profession, where all these things are mitzvahs, as the pasuk says in Kehelas Perek Tes, that even getting a job, work on this profession is a mitzvah. It says re'ei chayim im isha asher hafta, that you should see to have life with the woman that you love, which the gemara darshins that in Masechtas Kedushin. That actually it's a mitzvah on the father to teach his child a profession, which means to say that you should be able to live, you need a living, with the woman that you love, which is a metaphor for Torah. So that a person has to have a profession, and therefore these are mitzvahs, so you're permitted to talk about them on Shabbos. So what is Reb Zeira saying that you can't because you're going to be making calculations, but it's a calculation for mitzvah purpose, which you're allowed to do on Shabbos. So Elam Reb Zeira, rather Reb Zeira says a different shot. He says that the reason why it's forbidden to go ahead and initially have the Bi Rishonim on Matzah Shabbos is because Gezeirah Shem Yishchad Benayif. If you're going to make that celebration on Matzah Shabbos consummating the relationship, we're concerned that you might come to slaughter a small bird on Shabbos for your Matzah Shabbos party because you're going to be distracted. You're going to be so busy saying, okay, and then we're setting up stuff, and don't forget you have to get that and that. And he's going to get so caught up, he might go ahead and slaughter an animal. So he said, no. No parties on Matzah Shabbos. You're going to be so caught up with this big event, consummating the relationship, you can't go ahead and have that on the Matzah Shabbos. Now, if that the Gemara asks, Amalei Abaya, if that's the case, El Miyato, then Yom Kippur M'Shachalis B'Shein B'Shabbos, regarding Yom Kippur, that falls out on a Monday, which, as we know, that means to say Sunday night is going to be Yom Kippur, where you have to eat a lot on that Sunday, meaning after Shabbos, because that's Erev Yom Kippur. And first of all, it's a mitzvah to eat in Erev Yom Kippur, and you're fasting for a whole 24, 25 hours. So then Yitcha, we should push off Yom Kippur to a Tuesday instead of being a Monday. Because Gezeirah Shem Yishchad Benayif, if you should have the same concern, then maybe, since you have to make this big meal, again, similar to this big meal you make by when you consummate the relationship, because, so you might slaughter on Shabbos a bird for the meal on the following day. Why is it any different? Why don't we say that when Yom Kippur is on a Monday, you should have to push it off? Same concern we have with the wedding, with the consummated relationship, you have to push off from Matzah Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no, there's two differences between those two cases. First of all, Hasam, Deba Yom Kippur, Tila Nashe, where yes, he has to make a big meal, but he's making it for himself. Like Tarot, he's not so busy. It's not for, you don't have to impress anybody else, you don't have to be busy making for many people, you're doing it for yourself. So he's not so caught up, he's not going to get, by mistake, come to Michal Shabbos and slaughter an animal on Shabbos. However, Hacha here by Chasna to Lacherim, where that's for other people, Tarzah gets very caught up. He's very nervous what's going to be with other people. So that's why we're concerned over there. Or Inami, another reason why it's different is because Hasam Isle Ravcha by Yom Kippur, he has a lot of time when to slaughter. He could slaughter at nighttime because the meal that he's eating on Yom Kippur, although it's Sunday, and Sunday halachically, yes, the Jewish day starts Matzah Shabbos until Sunday night is that day, but he only eats it in the afternoon. So therefore he has much time, so he's not going to be concerned thinking, oh, I have to slaughter this. Hacha, lesli rafka, but here, where the meal is going to be on Shabbos, on the night right after Shabbos, right after it gets dark, where it doesn't have that much time, and everyone's all caught up, oh my, an hour after Shabbos is this big party, so then you might come to do it on Shabbos. That's why I said, okay, you cannot consummate this relationship on Matzah Shabbos because of this gezer. Now the Gemara says, now that we said that that's the reason why you cannot consummate the relationship on Matzah Shabbos, well then Erev Shabbos Nami, then you could say the same thing for Erev Shabbos, where we said that there's an Isra of having the first bee on Friday night. You could say the same reason, it's because Gezeirah Shem Yishchad Benayif, because you might be so caught up with this wedding, and you see there's more guests than you planned, or whatever it is, then you might come to slaughter on Friday night, which is Shabbos, and therefore you don't have to say the reason is because of Chabura. As we're going to see on Amud Beis, where there's a discussion if that's actually a violation of having the first act of cohabitation on Friday night as creating a wound or not. So therefore you could just say the reason why Friday night is forbidden is because of that you might come to slaughter in your haste a bird from some food on Friday night itself. Now the Gemara goes back to the topic of our Mishnah regarding the halacha of Besula that we said gets married on the Wednesday. So Yibaylu had the following question. Besula nisus birvi, this that we said that a Besula gets married on the Wednesday. Is it that Vinivel is birvi, but that she could also have her first act of bia, meaning the wedding's over and it's still Wednesday, that let's say the wedding was Wednesday afternoon and it's still daytime, so they could have bia on Wednesday? And what that would mean is v'lichashin and likuru daitu. We're not concerned that he's going to calm down. In other words, the whole premise of this halacha, as we said in the Mishnah, is that he's going to find out that there's no besulim, and therefore he's going to come to Bezdin. So do we say that if they have bia on Wednesday afternoon, that we're not concerned that, although it's a little bit longer, that he has to wait through Wednesday night all the way till Thursday morning, that he's not going to calm down and he'll come to Bezdin the next morning, so therefore they could have bia on Wednesday afternoon? Or maybe they know. We said in the Mishnah, Besula nisus birvi. The Besula gets married on Wednesday. But v'nivelis b'chamishi, but the first act of bia is on Thursday, meaning Wednesday night, which is the beginning of Thursday, because halachically it starts on by the evening time. That's when you have the bia. And the reason is because the chashin l'kuru daita were concerned that if they're allowed to do bia on Wednesday when it's still afternoon, so then it's a lot of hours that he has to calm down. He might not come to Bezdin. He's just going to say, oh, whatever, it is what it is. And then he might run into those problems. So what's the halacha? Do we say that the bia has to be in the nighttime, so then there's very little time until the next morning? Or could it even be Wednesday in the afternoon? So the Gemara says, Tashma, bring a raya from the Tani Bar Kappara, because Bar Kappara taught the following braisa. It says, Besula nisus birvi. He said that the Besula gets married on the Wednesday. Vinivelis b'chamishin, he says that the bia is on Thursday, meaning Wednesday night. And the reason why it should be on Thursday is Hoil v'nemer by bracha l'dagim, because as the Pasuk says in Bereishis, Perek Aleph, that it says that Hashem gave blessing to the fish on Thursday, where it says pru or vu, he says to the fish, you should be fruitful and multiply, umilu samayim, you should fill up the water. So this bracha, this blessing on the mazal of Thursday. So therefore the bia that they're having, which should also be pru or vu, should be on Thursday, which is Wednesday night. Almana nisus b'chamishi, a widow gets married on Thursday. V'nevelis b'shishi, but a har bia should be Thursday night, which is Friday. Hal v'nemer by bracha l'adam, since on Friday, when man was created, fish were on the day before, so that's when there was blessing said to mankind, where it says, Pru Urvu Milu Esa Aretz, where the blessing was given to Adam and Chava that they should be fruitful and multiply and fill up the world. So therefore the Almana, who doesn't have the reason of getting married on Wednesday as a Besula, therefore the Bia should be on Thursday night, which is Friday. Now that the Gemara proves regarding the question that we had, it sounds like from Bar Kappara that the reason why the Bia of the Besula should be on Thursday, meaning Wednesday night, is time of Mishum Bracha, is because we want to get Chaparayin, the blessing that's given to the fish of Puruvu. Aval, but it sounds like someone that's not particular about Brachas, about getting the blessing of the fish, that Mishum Ikrur Daito Loi Chashinan, but that for the reason of the other reason, of the calming down, that we're not concerned that for this a little amount of time that he's going to calm down, and that for that reason alone, he could have beer with her on Wednesday afternoon. So that answers the question that, yes, you should do it on Wednesday night, but that's just because of the bracha. But regarding the premise of the Mishnah's halacha, which is the primary point of getting married on Wednesday, for that idea, we're not concerned, even if the bia is on Wednesday. But now the Gemara asks on the braisa, ihachi, if that's the case, now Tosfos explains what the ihachi, what does this mean, if so, that the Gemara is going to ask right now. That Tosfos says that if you said that when we learned in the braisa, that a besula gets married, that the besula has her bia on Thursday, meaning on Wednesday night. If you said the reason was because, as we had assumed in the question, that because of cooling down, and not because that on Thursday was when blessing was given to the fish, because actually that's not so significant, then we would understand why an almana has her bia on Friday because of the blessing that's given, as we said, for mankind on Friday. But now that you said the reason why the besula herself, why she has her bia on Wednesday night, meaning Thursday, is because of a bracha. So therefore the Gemara asks, Salmana namiti bal b'chamishi. So let the widow also have her bia. She gets married on Thursday. Let her have her bia on Thursday. Hayl v'nemer by bracha l'dagim, that she also wants to get the blessing of the fish. You said the besula gets married, although on Wednesday, but her bia is on Thursday to get the blessing of the fish. So let the Amon, who's anyways getting married on Thursday, have her bia on Thursday too. So the Gemara answers, bracha da adam adifali. The blessing that was given to mankind is better than the blessing of Puruvu that was given to the fish. Now, however, as Rashi points out, so if you say the blessing of man is better than fish, so why don't you say the same thing regarding the Besula? the Besula cannot have her first Biyah on Friday, because then there's going to be a large gap from Friday till Monday, which is the next time that the courts are going to be open, and then we're concerned that by that time he's going to cool down already. But have the Biyah on Friday afternoon until Thursday morning, that would not concern, and therefore we said regarding a Kuru Daita that you could have the Biyah on Wednesday afternoon. But if you want to get also in the blessing of the fish, so then you have the first Biyah on Wednesday night, which is Thursday. That's one answer the Gemara gives. The Inami, or the Gemara gives another approach. Why is it that Dalmona has her Biyah on Friday, meaning Thursday night, and not on Thursday, meaning Wednesday night, like the Besula, is Mishum Shaktu. It's because that the sages were diligent. They wanted to make sure that the woman, the one who's getting married now, has everything that works out to get the marriage on the right foot, which is similar to the Shaktu that we said regarding the Besula. That's a different Shaktu, where they were diligent to make sure that the Chasen prepares 3 days before so she gets married on a Wednesday and not on a Sunday. Where here, regarding a widow, there's a different Shaktu. The Tanakh learned the Braisa. Why did we say, what's the whole reason why a widow gets married on Thursday? What's the reason? Meaning a widow, a besula, we know why it's on Wednesday, so the next morning he could come to Bezna and say, Tainz Besulam. Why does a widow get married on Thursday and have her Biyah on Thursday night, meaning that's Friday? So the reason is because Shim'ato Emer Tibol Bechamishi, because if you would say that if she gets married on Thursday, that she could have her Biyah on Thursday too, well, then Lamacha, the next morning, Mashkim Lum Nasav HaLechleisa, her new husband, is going to get up and go to work. And the reason is because there are no Shivis Imeha Mishta, what we commonly call as Sheva Brachas, for a widow that marries a widower. It's just one day, as the Gemara will explain on Dav Zayinim and Aleph. So if they had the wedding on Thursday, and they had B on Thursday, so that's the special day they celebrate together Thursday, but Friday is going to work. Now, Shaktu Chacham Matakans B'nais Yisrael. But the sages were diligent. They wanted to make sure that the Jewish women are sheyehei semeach ima, that the husband should rejoice with her for shleisha yamim, for 3 days. Now, how did they do that? The actual mitzvah is only one day. So what they did is they did it like this. They said, we'll get you 3 days together. How? Get married chamish v'shabbos. On Thursday, you'll have the chuppah. So he's not going to work on the day of the chasna. The erev Shabbos, and then on Friday, he'll spend Friday with you too, is because if you have B on Thursday night, which is part of Friday, that's a special day. That's the first time that they have B together, so he'll spend Friday with you too. And then Vishabbos. Shabbos is not going to work anyway, so that's how they get three together. That's why the Amona gets married on Thursday, but doesn't have B on that day. We want it to be on Thursday night, meaning halachically Friday, so that'll be a special day also. It's called Chibes Bia, and he'll stay there at home too, and then Shabbos will be 3 days together. Now the Gemara wonders, my Ikko, what is the difference regarding that we said that the Almana has her Biyah on Friday, which means Thursday night, bein bracha l'shaktu. What's the halachic difference? Either one, we said that she should have her Biyah on Thursday night, which is Friday, because of the blessing that was given to Adam and Chava, which is Puruvu, or because of Shaktu, because we want to have that she could have 3 days in a row with him. What's the difference? So Ikko b'nai, the difference between these two reasons would be either if it's Adam Batal, a guy who is unemployed, doesn't have work anyway, where according to the one who says that it's still better to have the blessing of Puruvu that was given to man, so here also the first Biyah should be on Thursday night, which is Friday. But according to the one that says it's because of Shaktu, so for that reason you could have Biyah on Thursday too, because he's not anyways getting up the next day to go to work. Or Inami, similarly the same difference would be if it's Yom Tov Shechalias Be'er Shabbos. If it comes out that it's what's called, that you have Yom Tov on Friday and then comes Shabbos, so anyways he's not going to work on Friday because it's Yom Tov. So anyways, you'll have 3 days together. So therefore, then you could go ahead and have Biyah on Thursday if the reason is because of Shaktu. But if the reason is because of the Bracha La'adam, then anyway, you should have the first Biyah on Thursday night, which is Friday. Now, the Gemara says, Darsh Bakapara. Bakapara expounded now. As Rashi says, the reason why we're bringing this Gemara over here, Bakapara, is because we mentioned Bakapara previously regarding an Agadic interpretation. So the Gemara continues here also and says another Agadic interpretation from Bakapara, where before he said the reason was because of Brachis, of Dagim, and Puruvu that was given to Adam. So we say another Agadic statement where Bakapara says, G'daylam Masei Tzadikim. It's the acts of the righteous are greater, Yisim Meisim Shemayim V'Aretz, greater than the acts of heaven and earth, where we find the Ilu B'Meisim Shemayim V'Aretz Ksiv. Whereas regarding the creation of the acts of heaven and earth, Ksiv, it says a pasuk in Yeshaya, Hashem says, Af yadi, so to speak, that also my hand, which is in the singular, meaning one hand, yasta eretz, founded the earth, v'mini tivcha shemayim, and my right hand went and spread out the heaven. So that's with one hand. V'ilu b'maisi deim shal tzadikim k'siv, but in regards to the actions of the righteous, so it says a pasuk in Shemayis, mochoin l'shivtecha, the foundation for your settle, pa'alta Hashem, you Hashem have made, Mikdash Adonai, the temple of my master, Kainanu Yodecha, your hands have founded. Now, the temple itself, which is what we're talking about Hashem making, is actually done through the acts of the righteous. It's done together that the righteous do, and then that's what happens. Hashem creates the temple. And we see that there it's being used in the plural, so to speak, metaphorically, Hashem's two hands has to make it. So we see that what the righteous do is, so to speak, Hashem's two hands, which is Shemayim Va'aretz, is Hashem's one hand. So it's greater what the righteous do, which causes Hashem to do with two hands, than with the acts of creation. Now, Heshiv Bavli Echad, so one Babylonian responded to Bar Kappara, Reb Chiya Shmai, and his name was Reb Chiya. He says, but there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, V'yabeshes, and the dry land, Yadav Yitzaru, his hands formed it. That's plural. Sounds like Shemayim Va'aretz also requires both hands. So that he answered, no, Yadav Yitzaru. It's pronounced Yada, but it's written in the singular of his hand. But he asked, oh, but Voksiv Yatzaru, but it says, and they formed it. So that, you see, that's plural on the hands. So that the Gemara answers, Amrav Nechma Yitzchak, no. Yatzaru etzba oisav. Yes, there's plural. It's one hand, but it's plural of the fingers. Kedachsel, like it says, the Pasuk in Tehillim, it says, David HaMelech says, Ki era shemecha, because I see your heaven, Maisa etzba isecha, the acts of your fingers. So it pertains to plurality, not because of the hands, but because of the fingers. But we see that it's called the acts of Hashem's fingers, so to speak. Yerech v'chachav mashekananta, the moon and the stars which you have formed. But the Gemara continues asking, because Meisvi, we learned in the Pasuk at Tehillim, says, Hashemayim misaprim kavoid el, that the heaven speaks about the glory of God. You look into the constellation, the galaxies, you see the covet of Hashem. Umaasa Yadav, and the acts of his hands, Magad Yerakia, the firmament says. So you see that it testifies regarding Hashem's hands. You see that both hands are necessary, so to speak, Kibiyachal, for the creation of Shemayim and Aretz too. So that the Gemara says, no, Hachikama. This is what the Pasuk is saying. When it says Umaasa Yadav, actually, it's a reference to Maasa Deim Shel Tzadikim, to the acts of the hands of the righteous, which, as we explained before, are called the Maasa Yadayim of Hashem, like we said regarding the Beis HaMikdash. Now, this is what the Pasuk is saying. Umaasa Yadav, which when we said that it means both Hashem's hands, is a reference to the acts of the righteous. Mi Magid, the Pasuk is saying, who testifies to the righteousness of the acts of the righteous? That's Harikia. The firmament, the sky testifies to the people in the world that these people are righteous. Umayniu, how does the sky testify regarding the acts of the righteous? It's mutter with the rain, because the righteous daven for the rain, and guess what happens? The rain comes down, so it is testifying for their righteousness, and that's what's referring to. But for the acts of Shemayim Baruch itself, it only requires one hand. Another Darish Bar Kappara, another exposition by Bar Kappara. Ma'adich said, what's the pasuk in Devar that says, V'yase tia lecha al azeinecha, that there should be a spike for you on your azeinecha, which Azinecha translates as from the word of Kli Zayin, of your weaponry, which means to say that besides all your other utilities and your tools and your weapons, you should also have a spike, which the literal translation of that pasuk is because when the person has to defecate, a person has to relieve themselves, so they have to be able to cover it over because there shouldn't be anything unclean in the camp. So you have to have that tool too. But Bar Kappara expounds it as follows. He says, Al Tikri Azinecha, don't read it on your weapons. Ela al oiznecha. Rather, you should have a spike for you on your ear. Now, what does that mean? Shem yishma adam davar sheino hagin. Because if a person hears something inappropriate, so we continue on Talmud Beis, yaniach etzboi, so he should place his finger, which is tapered and slanty like a spike, but also in his ear. So you should have a spike in your ear. As the Gemara says, v'hayin dam Rebbe Elazar. This is what Rebbe Elazar said. He said, why is it that a person's fingers are similar to spikes? Which the Gemara clarifies. My taima. What does that mean? With how are fingers similar to spikes? That you're asking, why is it that they're similar? If you're wondering because that they're separated, meaning it's not like one big shovel, the hand, that the fingers are separate like spikes and they're not connected. Well, that's not a question because kalchada v'chada l'milse avida. What do you mean? Actually, this is what the Gemara is asking on Reb Elazar. Of course, each one has its own function, and even as the Gemara will illustrate, even for the purposes of usage in Hekdesh, in for purposes of the Avod in the Beis Hamikdash, we find that there's a necessity for each separate finger. The Amama, like the Gemara says elsewhere, Masechtas Menachos, that starting from the pinky, from the smallest finger, Zuzeres, and that is from the smallest finger, all the way up until the thumb, it is how they measure what's called the Zeres, for the Cheshen, for the Kohen Gadol's breastplate, which the length and the width of that was a Zeres. Now you need that small finger to be able to measure the distance to the thumb to measure what the Zeres is. Moving up to the towards the thumb, the next finger right next to the smallest finger is Zu Kemitza, meaning from that finger is where you begin the procedure of what's called Kemitza, when they take the fistful of the flower from the Karban Mincha, where they cover over three of the fingers on his palm. That's what the Kohen does. Now, the Kemitza, the Ama, and the Etzba go ahead and do this scoop. That starts from the finger next to the smallest finger. That's called the Kemitza. Moving on to the middle finger, Zu Ama, that is from the longest finger, which is called the Ama. And the reason is because if you measure from the tip of that finger all the way to the elbow, that's how they would measure the Amos of the building and the utensils in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what's called the Nama, from the tip of the middle fingertip all the way to the elbow. Moving to the next finger, the one right next to the thumb, Zu Etzba, that's what's called the finger, which is also used in the Beis HaMikdash for placing the blood of the Karban Chatos, as it says, Be'etzba, he has to spray it with his finger. And then finally, the last finger, Zu Zegoidel, which is a reference to the thumb, where it says in the Pasuk, many places where you have to spray on the Bohen Yad of Aaron, you have to spray on his thumb, or by the Mitzvah it says on his thumb. So what do you mean? Why are you asking that? Why is it like spikes, which means that they're separate? Of course they have to be separate. We even find in the Avodah Beis HaMikdash they have to be separate. So Ella, rather, what Reb Elazar was asking was, Matan Mishupes Ki Yesedes. We understand why they're divided, but why are they slanty and tapered like a spike? That is the answer. Like we said before, Shem Yishma Adam Davish in Hagen, because if a person hears something inappropriate, Yaniach Etz Ba'isav Ba'aznam, he should put his fingers in his ears. That's why it's tapered, that he could get it in to be able to block out the inappropriate sounds. Similarly, the Gemara says that Tanit Be'er Bishmol was taught in the Yeshiva Bishmol. Memneima Oizen Kulei Kasha. Why is it that the entire cartilage of the ear is hard, but Va'alya, which literally means like the tail part, meaning the flesh at the end of the ear, is raka, is soft. And the reason is, Shem Yishma Adam Davish in Hagen, that if a person hears something inappropriate, Yochef Aliyah L'Toicha, he should stick and cover over that Aliyah into the ear, into the canal, to be able to block out those inappropriate sounds. Tarban, similarly, we learn in the Braisa, Aliyah Shemiya Adam La'azna of Divar Matel. A person should not allow idle chatter, idle words to enter into his ears. The reason is because the ears are very susceptible. They're very vulnerable. They're very soft and thin because they are nichvis t'chil levarim. They're the first part of the person's body. From the rest of the body, that's going to be the first thing that's going to be burnt, which is talking about, on some level, like the fires of Gehenna. When the person is going to be burnt, the first thing you want to make sure that you're safe with is the ear. Don't let anything inappropriate come in, because that's the first thing that gets burnt. As the Gemara says, similarly, in like Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Ches, when it talks about a non-Jew that's singeing the head of the animal, that you're allowed to eat it, and the chiddush that they say, you could eat it even from the tip of the ears. What that chiddush is that although that's the first thing that gets cooked because it's so soft, it's still not a problem in that halacha. Similarly, over here, we're saying that be careful with your ears, because that's the first thing that's going to get the punishment of the fires of Gehenna. Now, the Gemara returns to this idea that we were speaking about on the previous staff and beginning of the Masechta, that regarding that a besula, when she could have her first bia. So, Iboilu, the following question: Mahu livel betchil b'Shabbos? What's the halacha? Could Chas and Kala go ahead and have their first bia on Friday night? Now, Rashi says either the Gemara is asking this question because these Amayram who asked the question did not hear of the previous Braisa, which said clearly you cannot have the first bia on Friday night on Matzah Shabbos, or they heard of this brisa. But the question was, they were asking, does the halacha fall like that brisa or not? Now, the Gemara explains the question. And the fundamental principle, which then the Gemara takes either one of these approaches and continues the line of questioning, moving along to discover the answer, is regarding the besulim, the hymen, which is a besula has, which is a thin membrane. Now, when there's the first bia, then blood comes out. So the question is, by the blood that comes out of that membrane, which is ruptured, question is that dam mifkad pocket? Is that blood, like the word pikadon means, just deposited? It's just inside that membrane, but it's not absorbed in the walls of the vagina of the woman's womb, to say that it's coming out because of a chabur, of a wound, that's something that's tearing here in the flesh, which is causing the blood to come out. No, it's just like as if he's opening up a door, he's opening up the membrane, which the blood was behind it and was just locked in, and it's all opening and it comes out. And oy chiburi mechaba, or would we say that no, that the blood of the besulim that comes out is coming out, and it's actually a double usage in this term, chibur mechaber, through a chabur, through a wound, and that is because it's actually absorbed into the flesh. And moreover, that it's that the doors of the besulim, of the they're actually pushed aside, they're actually pulled away one from the other, and that's what pulls out the blood, but it is absorbed inside. So the question is, would we say that it's just deposited inside, but it's not absorbed in the walls? Or do we say it's absorbed in the walls? Now, the Gemara continues now, taking each one of those approaches, and follows along to say, so what would the halacha be? So the Gemara explains, v'imtim tzolei medam mifkad pakad. Now, if you entertain the first option, that the blood is just deposited behind the walls of the membrane, but it's not actually absorbed inside the woman. Hence, you're not doing seemingly any violation on Shabbos because you're not doing chabura. Chabura would be only if it's absorbed inside and then you're pulling it out. Now, however, you could still inquire if it's going to be forbidden or permitted on Shabbos. In other words, what is the intention of the man who's removing the blood from the besula on Shabbos? Is it that ladam hu tzarach? What's his intention? Is his intention that he wants to remove the blood? That's the procedure that his intention is when he's having beer with a besula to see, is the blood coming out? That will verify that she's a besula, and therefore vishari, and that's something that's permitted to be done on Shabbos. If that's his whole intention, well, that we said the dam is just mifkad pocket. It's just deposited inside. He's not doing anything that's a violation of the Shabbos, so that's permitted. Like Dilma, or maybe that's not his primary concern. Yes, he wants to know that he's having a beer with a besula now, but the main thing is not that he wants the blood to come out, but rather that lepesach hutzach. He wants that there should be an opening, meaning that means to say, if he made an opening, meaning he knows that she was a besula and now she became a be'ula. Now, making an opening is like the malacha, as we'll see later, that applies even to a human being, of baina. He's building an opening in this woman, and therefore va'aser, so that should be forbidden to be done. So although the blood's not a problem, because that's mifkad pakid, there's no chabura, but there's a different Shabbos violation, that of actually a binyan, creating a structure. Now, but you could still continue asking a question in this opinion of mifkad pakid, and that is, v'imtim tzolayim aladam hutzarach. Now, even if you say that, like the first option, don't introduce binyan, let's say. Let's say his primary intention is for the blood. And therefore, as we had assumed, so that should be permitted. Because, so what is it that he's doing a melechas machshebes for? What's his intention for? It's for the blood. Blood is no chabur, it's mifkad pocket. And therefore, however, but, by default, upesach memei lokasi, but, even though you're not intending to make an opening, you're making an opening by the woman. And therefore, the question then becomes, you could still continue asking, halacha k'reb Shimon? Does halacha follow k'reb Shimon, which is one of these shas type of machlokes, as brought many times in Pesach Shabbos, the Amma that he says, davar she'ein miskaven is mutter? When you do a malachas Shabbos that you're not intending to do it, it's just happening by default, which is the case in this baina that you're doing by making an opening by the woman, that it's mutter and therefore here would be permitted? Or halacha k'reb Yehuda, or with the halacha follow k'reb Yehuda, the Amma davar she'ein miskaven, that he says, if you do something that's not intended, that it's usr, and therefore here, even though you're not intending to make a binyan, you're doing it just for the blood, which is permitted, but by default you're making an opening, and therefore it's going to be forbidden. Now Rashi does point out one thing regarding this line of questioning, that when we said that if it's like Rav Shimon, since you're not intending to make the opening, the Pesach, that it's going to be permitted, but the problem with that seems to be is, but it's inevitable. And that's what's called as psik resha v'lo yamas. What, you're going to cut off the animal's head and say it's not going to die? Of course it's going to die. So that even Rav Shimon agrees, even though you're not intending to do it, but if it's inevitable, it's going to be usher. So here the opening is inevitable. So Rashi says that the Gemara discusses this later on, and the answer is that no, it's not, actually not inevitable that he's going to make an opening, because there are some men that are proficient, and they could actually have be a slanted way, which blood will not come out, and actually will not make an opening in the besula, and therefore it's not secretion, it's not inevitable, and therefore, as long as it's davish ein miskaven, it's going to be permitted. Now, however, the questioning continues. Now, the imtim tzolayim halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, and even if you're going to say that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, who, as we just explained, seemingly then it should be forbidden, because even though your intention is for the blood, and the blood is permitted because mifkat pocket, but inevitably, or not even inevitably, but even though you're not intending to, but unintended malacha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is forbidden, which is what you're doing when you're making an opening by the woman, but you could still question. And the reason is because, as the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos Daf Kaf Vav Med Aleph, that when does Rabbi Yehuda say that, let's say, even Davish Ein Miskaven is going to be forbidden on Shabbos? It's only b'misaken, when you're doing something constructive. But when you're doing what's called makalka, when you're doing something destructive, he holds it's not considered malacha. And therefore, you could ask, regarding this, let's say, by default Pesach that you're making, you could still ask, regarding this Pesach, makalkul hu etz la Pesach, this Pesach, this opening that he's making, is that considered destructive? And the reason why that would be considered not constructive is because actually a besula of that this doesn't have an opening yet is actually considered more chashiv than a be'ula. As we see, her ksuba is more, and therefore she's considered more chashiv. So maybe the Pesach, yes, by default, it's ein miskaven, Rabbi Yehuda holds yichayiv, but it's makalkal, because it's actually making her worse off. If it's makalkal, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're not chayiv. Oy, misakenu etz la Pesach, or maybe actually it's going to be considered misaken, because by that way, he's actually creating a bond with him and his wife, because it says a woman does not make herself a bond with only the man that made her into a kli, and maybe therefore it would be considered misaken. So those are the lines of questioning which you could continue asking, saying that even if you say like that, but then that splits into two, and then you come to another crossroads. Those are the questions regarding if you say dam ifkad pakar. Now the ikad amri, there are those that say, regarding this whole line of questioning, in the second option, as follows. If you say that the blood is actually absorbed inside of the woman and in the canal, and therefore it's actually going to be creating a wound, and that's how it's pulling out the blood, so that would seemingly be something that's forbidden to do on Shabbos, and I'll make a chabur on Shabbos. But you can still inquire. It's not true, because do you say ledam hu tzarech v'aser? Do you say that, yes, that's his intention? In other words, it's a meleches machshebes dischabur that he's doing because that's what he wants. The chasen that's having be with a kal, it's a besula. He wants to see the blood come out. That verifies for him that she's a besula. And therefore, you're intending to do chabur. Oh, that's forbidden to do on Shabbos, so you cannot have be on Friday night. Like, Dilma, maybe no. The chasen is not intending to go ahead and he wants the blood to come out. Lanos atzmehu tzarech. The reason why he wants to have bia with a besula, now it just happens to be on Friday night, is for his own pleasure. That's what the bia is with a besula. Now, that makes the blood coming out, yes, through chabur, but it's a davish ein miskaven, he's not intending to do it, and therefore v'shari, therefore that would be permitted, because it's something that's unintended, although it's a manifest of his action, is actually something that you're permitted to do on Shabbos. Now, but still, that could still be questioned, because even if you say that he's doing it for his own pleasure, and that the blood's only coming by default, but he's not intending to bring it out, but it just comes out, so it comes out that the chabur is being done unintended, you could still inquire if that's going to be permitted or forbidden. In other words, do we say halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda? Do we say halacha as follows k'Rabbi Yehuda, who says by something that's ein miskaven, unintended, but maybe, and as Rashi explains this part of the questioning, that maybe the blood of the chabura is misakin, because if you're going like Rabbi Yehuda, he holds makalkal, is not a problem. But if you say misakin, he wants that the blood will be constructive, even though you're not intending to do it, which comes out an interesting type of a variation, meaning he's not intending to do it. He's only doing it for his pleasure. But the unintended consequence, the Einu Miskaven, is that the Chabur will happen, which is a tikkun, although unintended, and therefore it's going to be forbidden. Or would we say Halacha follows like Rabbi Shimon, who he says that Davish and Miskaven is mutter. Now, but then you could still inquire. Vimtim Tzolem Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, and even if you say Halacha follows like Rabbi Yehuda, who therefore in this case it would be forbidden, because even though we'll say that he's doing it for his own pleasure, not for the Chabura, but the Chabura is a Ein Miskaven, unintended consequence, which according to Rabbi Yehuda that's forbidden, but you could still say that maybe no, maybe it will be permitted. Because maybe, mekalkel b'chabur, maybe as we said, there's a question, maybe this pulling out the blood is actually making her worse. That's destructive. That's, according to Behuda, permitted, as we said before. Ay, misakin b'chaburhu, or maybe it's actually making it better. The fact that blood's coming out is a sign that she was a basula, it's making her better, and therefore it would be something constructive, and therefore it would be forbidden. Now, the question goes one step further. Even if you say that the pulling out the blood, which is happening, what this is the outgrowth of this wound of the chabura, pulling out the blood, that even if you say that it's makalkal, where according to Behuda that should be permitted, you could still, what's called clear, you could still question and say that maybe it will still be forbidden. And the reason is because if you say that davishin miskaven is forbidden like Rabbi Yehuda, but regarding Mekalkel by Chabur, we'll say you hold like Rabbi Shimon, who holds that you are Chayiv. As the Gemara says in Masech the Shabbos in Perek Ha'arig, Daf Kavav Amud Aleph, that all Mekalkel and all destructive acts on Shabbos are exempt, except, and the Gemara there says that's going like Rabbi Shimon, except by Chayivel, which is what we're talking about, of making a Chabura, and of Maver, of burning something, of consuming something. So therefore, the Gemara's question is, even if you say the Mekalkel, that the Chabur that's being done over here is a Kilkel, is destructive, you could still inquire and say that it's going to be forbidden. Because do we say, B'Mekalkel Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda, do we say that by a destructive act, even by Chabur, we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore it's going to be permitted? And that's because, when did Rabbi Yehuda say Davish and Miskaven is Aser? That's only when it's Misaken, when it's constructed. But by Mekalkel, he didn't say that, and therefore, although it's a Davish and Miskaven, which should be Aser, but it will be permitted because actually it's Mekalkel. Or we continue on top of Medalov, Oy Halacha Rabbi Shimon, or do we say that a compound with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, that if you say like Rabbi Shimon, that Mekalkel b'chabur is Chayiv, together with this Imtim Tzolayim, the Halachas of Rabbi Yehuda, by Davishain Miskaven, that it's Aser, then actually the Halacha would be that it would be forbidden. In other words, you could have that, you have the Dam that's Chabur Mechaber, but he's not intending it for to be that way. But although he's not intending it for to be, he's doing it just for his pleasure, it could still be Aser, because like you hold like Davishain Miskaven, like Rabbi Yehuda, that's Aser. But although we'll say that it's Mekalkel, which Rabbi Yehuda holds, Mekalkel is always permitted, but if you say like Rabbi Shimon that holds, that the Mekalkel b'chabur is Chayiv, together with Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Davish and Miskaven is Aser, then actually you could have, even though he's doing it lahanos asmer for his own pleasure, and not intending to do the Chabur Mechaber to doing the wound, it could still be Aser. And that's the Gemara's question regarding these two different options of Mifkak Pokad or Chabur Mechaber. There's many different computations of this questioning about, do we say that it's permitted to have the Bi Rishayna on Friday night, or do we say that it's Mutter?